الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد الحمد لله we're gathered again to reflect on one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one of the most beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are husna. They are all most beautiful names and attributes. And again, to remind ourselves that this is to really get to know or try to get to know about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. It is not to know the attributes and the names of Allah, to recite it and chant it. No, it is to understand it, reflect on it, and even implement it when it comes to us, because it's part of it is about us as well. And this is what the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means. لله تسعة وتسعين اسماء وتسعين اسماء من أحصاها دخل الجنة. For Allah are 99 names. He who أحصاها will enter Jannah. He who will understand it, know it, reflect on it, and implement it will enter Jannah. This is أحصى. It is not those who memorized it or memorized this. It. No, it is more than that. Yes, memorization could be a part of it, but it's only a beginning. And, you know, there was on the radio, on the American radio, it was a show, and I was surprised. It was a long show about then Allah's attributes. Like, it was public radio, and I was, you know, wondering, you know, is the American public radio will talk about the attributes of Allah. And then I found out that those who were interviewed and so forth about it, they were talking about how to chant it. Okay? And how to you know, the more you chant it, the more you get to know about Allah. And that's what they were saying. And that the more you follow your leader as he's chanting and he chanting after him and follow the way he pronounced, then the name of Allah will consume you. And it will be, you know, part of you. And so I began to understand why it was on the radio. Okay. So, it is, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, did not deal as such with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, today's attribute, inshallah, is al-basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we either have a duck in here or... or a cell phone with a very good ring. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, the one who is all-seeing. What is basar? Basar is to be able to see things, because you have an instrument, with it you can see, or you become capable of seeing, and the object or that which you are looking at, when you look at it, there is a light that has to bounce off the object and go to your eye, and it goes through a process, a very complex process, then the picture is reflected on the retina. The retina picture in it is upside down, and the the nerves will take it and send it to the brain, and the brain will be able to decipher what this is that you're looking at. That is basar. Okay, so, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not think of it the same way. Because we need an instrument that's given to us by Allah to be able to see. Allah, we should never think about Allah has an instrument with which He could see. No. We just say Allah is all-seeing. Allah is al-basir. That's all. Seeing is limited to a part of something, not another part. Seeing is according to how the picture in front of you is reflected. You have a front of it, a side, you have a certain dimension. And our vision is limited with that dimension. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees as we see, meaning there is a limitation of His seeing. No. Allah sees everything. Everything from all directions. Deep and on the surface. At the same time, all His creation. Now, also the word seeing, we take it to a different dimension. We say we could see things and not necessarily see it with your eyes, meaning you can see things with your eyes, but you detect certain things from it with your understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us, the physical being of us, inside, outside, and also Allah sees everything about us that no one else could see. So, when you testify about something, Allah knows what you are testifying. Allah sees you and knows you. So, that which you are articulating, Allah sees you as who you truly are, not what you present yourself to be. So when we say Allah is seeing, all seeing, and He sees us, He sees more than what you are articulating and what you are projecting that you're doing. Allah sees more and deeper than that. Knows everything that you do. Also, when we say, when you are accused with that which is false, Allah is all-seeing as well. Allah knows that you are accused falsely. And you are, Allah knows what the truth and sees the truth. Okay? But Allah allows this to happen for you to be accused of something that you did never done. They say you have done something and you haven't done it. Okay, you were seen doing something and you never done it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you are innocent. But Allah, for His wisdom, because of His wisdom, is putting you through it. So you know, as a believer, that Allah saw you and sees you and will always see you. And He knows the truth of the matter, the truth of the matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow a certain event happen to you and something to happen to you, and you know, and you have to accept it as it is. Allah is al-basir, and He allows this to happen for a reason. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-basir in the Quran, of course, in many, many verses. Okay? وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Okay? وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Here is established prayer and أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ and establish the zakah system, and whatever you do, Allah is overseeing. Allah sees it. Whatever you do, Allah sees it. Okay? Meaning that here is you are establishing the prayer. Allah sees you and knows your intention. Sees you from the inside out. You establish in zakah. Allah sees everything about you when you're doing so, as an individual and as a group. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us from our work and from our recognition of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. We tend to be connected to that which is tangible and disconnect with that which is not tangible. So if you know that there is a camera on you wherever you are, then you will act in a certain way because you don't want people to see you except in the best of condition. The best, present yourself in the best of ways. This is how human beings are. And a believer who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him, then he should behave in the best behavior all the time. Because if we behave any differently, then we either think that Allah cannot see us, okay? Then there is a major deficiency with us. This is, you know, coming out of Islam, you know, if you don't think that Allah sees you. But if you think that Allah sees you and you're still not up to the standard when you're alone, then you actually making Allah the least one you give importance to, and you give people more importance than Allah. You think of what people think of you and put it in a higher standard than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. How could that be? So once we behave differently when Allah is not watching, when we are alone, we know there is a great deficiency with us. And you find those who are not Muslimin and not pious, they might be very disciplined when it comes to systems. A system, an army system, that tells you this is what you do, this is how you conduct yourself. The do's and don'ts are very strict in the army. Okay? And you find those who are following, you know, certain guidelines and so forth, and they say these are the rules, and they take it seriously. And they know there are hierarchies there and so forth. And then what happens, they know that they're going to be reporting to their leaders. They know that they're going to be accountable for what they're doing. So therefore, they hold their conduct in the best standard that is given to them. And you find them doing so. Okay? You find them in their best behavior and so forth. Okay? Now, when they are alone, when you give them an assignment and tell them, go. And whatever you do, you do. You're not going to be accountable for anything that you do. Then the damage that happened is so severe. So severe. Because those who are very well disciplined, but they do not think that Allah is watching them, and they're not accountable for Allah or to Allah, therefore, when you let them loose, they're not accountable for anything. They can cause great damage. You heard what happened in Abu Ghraib, right? Do you remember it, or did we all forget? Okay? That is what happened. Okay? They put a bunch of people who do not think they are accountable for anything except to their leaders, and their leaders shut the door and says, okay, you go, do whatever you want. Okay? So you found these atrocities and these things that you don't even understand. Okay? You don't even understand. Why is this going on? Why do you do this? Why do you deal with human being as such? Okay? Why would you deal with a human being as such? Okay? As Brother A was telling me in the news, one day he heard two pieces of news, one right after the other. Okay? One was the way of torture. They were saying, you know, certain ways of torture, is it torture or not? Yeah, is it torture or not? Okay? And they're arguing a point of someone that you put them through, you know, some experience that think that they are dying, and some of them actually dies from this, and they are discussing it, are you doing this to a human being, and is it really torture or not? And then the next piece of news about the quarterback who had the problem with torturing dogs because of the dog fights, and saying, you know, he should go to jail about what he did about, you know, the dogs, and how, you know, how could you deal with dogs this way? What is this? A human being or a dog? A human being or a dog? Okay. Well, we say both. You have to deal with them with goodness. Both. Okay? If you deal with a dog in any less way than kindness, you will enter hellfire. And Rasulullah sallam give us, you know, a hadith about those who mistreated animals and how they destined to hellfire because of such a treatment. But we deal with people the same way. And we think of people the same way. A human being, a Muslim, can even try to be smart and outsmart a person in a deal. But when they're alone, they get scared. If he knows that he's going to be accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole personality becomes different. I witnessed myself, okay, a long time ago. Okay. I was in Egypt. I was there visiting. I stayed there for a couple of years, and I got involved in some work in constructions and things like that. That was between 82 and 84. Okay, and so we were working in building bridges and things like that in areas that are very remote. So you find people, you know, very simple people living there and so forth. So you get to know, you know their lives, and some of them are still living the way that the ancient Egyptians drawn in the wall still, you know, with the cow living in the same house, you know, in the next room and everything, you know. Beautiful, simple lives, okay. So now... It was something to be done, some dirt to be moved from one area to another and so forth. So someone took that subcontract, if you will, right? A man who's very tough-like, speaks tough, act tough. And he said, you know, I'm going to get some workers and I'm going to do this with this much. And we had the deal and he took the job. And he, you know, kept doing it for a few days here and there to finish it up. Then I was sitting one day, and he was under the fig tree. You know how beautiful the fig trees are, you know. And okay, and he was sitting underneath of it, okay, in a place that is high. And then it was the payday. He was paying his workers. Okay? Cash. They come around and give. So they were all, you know, young ones, you know, who just make, you know, move dirt here and there and make a few dollars here and there. So, you know, he is a businessman, right? And making this, you know, and so they come in and he argues with them. No, you did this. Okay. And they get an agreement. Okay, he didn't much. Go. And next one. And then it was the last one. It was a little boy. Very small. So he comes in and he said, okay, what did you say? I did this. I said, no, you did this and that. The boy said, no. I did more than this. And he described what he did and how many hours and how many days and so forth. The man, he said, no, I start arguing with him. The boy got excited. And his voice got loud. And the man said, you behave yourself. This is it. And that's all you're going to... He said, "Anta zalim. You committed injustice to me." Okay? And then the boy grabbed the money. And the tear came on his cheek. Turned around and said, "I will talk to Allah." This man ran after him. He said, "Listen, boy, listen." He said, "No." And he keeps walking. No, please. Don't make dua. Don't, you know, whatever. What is it that you want? You know, I will give you. You know, and you find this big man and so forth, all of a sudden, he's almost crawling hand and feet with this little boy. So he doesn't want him to say something to Allah against him. Okay? This is a whole different environment of people. Okay? A whole different, you know, environment of a human being. Okay? And we tend to compare this with some so-called civilized society where you're walking around, people are smiling in your face, people doing their job properly and so forth, And genuinely, Allah knows what's going on. And say, look at this man who was dealing with this boy like this. And you say, you know, in the Western society, you'll never have people dealing with little kids like that. They will give them the rights and so forth. So how civil. No, you need to go a little bit deeper. You need to go a little bit deeper. Okay? Of course, we're not saying this is good and this is bad. No, but what we're saying is that we as Muslimin, we should have the best of both. The best of the conduct with people and the best of conduct away from people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot, you know, have this double personality like. So the way of conduct in the society, the best behavior, this, نحن أولى بها. We are worthy, more worthy of it than anyone. Okay? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that the Jewish people fasting the Ashura because of Musa alayhi salam, what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْهُمْ. We are worthy of Musa than them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "We'll fast that day too, and day with it, so we different than them." Okay? So yes, we are awla, we are worthy of this conduct in the surface and alone with the people and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dealing with the people in the best of ways is also part of being a Muslim, and one will be judged and one will be accountable as well in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are given da'wah, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basir, okay? Okay? وَإِنْ حَاجُّوكَ فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنْ نعم. Okay. أين الحفاظ؟ نحن الحفاظ الذين نسوا. When you are giving da'wah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basir of you and the others. And whatever it is that you are giving, you're going to be accountable of that which you are doing the best you can. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a caretaker of you and of the others. And Allah, basir, alim, and shaheed. Allah is overseeing, Allah is all-knowing, and Allah is a witness. Okay? Allah is a witness. So, as we are conducting our lives, living our lives and conducting our affairs, this two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sami' and al-basir, they are very close to us. Very close to us. Okay? The one that you can actually, when you are realizing it, when it is in your soul, if you will, all the time, you cannot misbehave in a way of saying something or in a way of doing something. Okay? The one who steals while he's stealing is not a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. Okay? The one who's stealing, when he's stealing, he's not a mu'min. Okay? What does that mean? Meaning, if you thought about it, okay, you would not do it. But it is, if it is something that is, has some kind of a reaction, some kind of a temptation, some kind of a call from shaitan of an impulse kind of an action. At that moment of the impulse, okay, you're not a mu'min. Okay? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, but a mu'min and a Muslim does not lie. See? A Muslim can do a lot of things, right? Meaning sins. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but not lying. Why? Because lying has to do with planning. And to plan, meaning you are not doing something out of impulse. Okay? You're not away from the obedience and knowing Allah for an impulse of a second or a moment. No. You are away from the remembrance of Allah for a long period of time while you are planning how to lie and executing your lie. And a believer cannot do such a thing. A believer cannot be in a long period of time away from the remembrance of Allah in his heart and his mind. So a Muslim and a mu'min cannot lie, does not lie. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 20. فَإِنْ هَاجُّوكَ فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ
وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ
وَكُلِّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالْأُمِّيِّينَ أَسْلَمْتُمْ فَإِنْ أَسْلَمُوا فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ
وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. نعم. That you are given the balagh and Allah basir, Allah basir is overseeing his ibad. Okay? So you don't, that is what you do, and your responsibility is lifted after that. Okay, so here is the time the less time we react, or the longer time we take to do something about a matter, the more believers we could be. Okay? The more time take us to execute, think and execute something about a matter that could be responded to in a way of impulse, the more of a believer we are. Okay? When something happened that could initiate a reaction from you, an impulse reaction from you. Okay? And you do the reaction, you react, that is something that shows that you're away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Why? Because when you react, it is something, it's about you. It is some, has to do something about you. Okay? When someone pushes you, you have the tendency, you want to push them back. Okay? When somebody grab you, you want to let them stop grabbing you and hit their hand. You, someone insults you and you sort of want to insult them back. Okay? Now, when you do not react and you stop and you pause, okay, and you are in control and think about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who you are and what's going on and what is the right way of conducting this, now you are growing as a believer. You are growing as a believer. Okay? Just remember this. The longer time takes you to do something about something that needs reaction from you, and you pause and wait, the more you know that you are growing up as a human being who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, huh?
You are humiliating me.
No, brother, we know that you react a lot, but you see, no. You never react for yourself. No, from what I know, you react. If somebody, I know if somebody insults you, you're not going to insult them back. You're going to, you might going to even laugh, okay? But if they break the laws of Allah, you will react. Yes, okay? But now we need to react in a way that this person is breaking the way of Allah, the rule of Allah. So how to react in a way that he would love Allah? Okay? And do not do this. Okay? And you always found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best man who ever walked on this earth. Okay? Give the best examples in that. The best examples in that. How he never reacted to or reacted, always proacted to things. Never reacted to things. Okay? And the way he reacted, he acted proacted in the best of manner, in the best of ways. Okay? That you cannot help but say, you know, this our role, he is our role model. This is the best way of conduct. Okay? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was standing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this man was insulting both of them, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu standing and not answering him. And the man kept insulting and really, until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu could not take it anymore, and he's finally fed up and give an answer. Okay? Then what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his face changed and walked away. Then he said that when the man was saying whatever he was saying, an angel was answering him. An angel was answering him. But when you, Abu Bakr, started talking, Shaitan entered. Shaitan came. Okay? That is, you know, recognizing, you know, even if it's an action, and somebody is taking you right away, and you know that Allah is overseeing this, and Allah can see that, Allah sees this. And even if you are accused of whatever it is, and you know that Allah sees this, just the fact that you know that Allah is aware of all of this should put comfort in your heart. Should put comfort in your heart, in your mind. Okay? And now, when we do not react and we proact because the knowledge that we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a foundation with us that's so strong that nothing will shake us from it. Nothing will shake us from it. Okay? The when you know exactly where you're going, okay, and we know exactly that Allah is aware of your path, and Allah is the one who have this path and designed this path for you, and you have the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahead of you, and you walk in it. This is a path that is so comfortable and so strong that nothing can move us from it. Okay? And if you insist on it and keep going on it, success must be there. Success must be there. Okay? And those who would like to go on it will come on you with it. Or will come on it with you. And those who, you know, want to leave it, they could leave it. Okay? But the path never changes. Inshallah, if we take care of the children, inshallah. No. Mahmoud, روح هناك يا محمود. So the path that we should be on, that the path that we in it, we are aware of the attributes of Allah, and aware that Allah is overseeing us, taking care of us, and seeing us, hearing us, and with us with His attributes and all His names and attributes. That is a path that there is no path on this life equal to it. Okay? And if we insist on this, eventually you'll find the rewards that has no equal, period. The rewards that some scholars call it Jannah on earth. Jannah, paradise that is on earth. And even some says it's a prerequisite for the hereafter's Jannah. You have to go through this one first. Okay? So, coming out of this umbrella of the attributes of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, is bringing yourself out of the comfort and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we know we want to be there, we want to be aware of this, but the ghafla takes us. The ghafla takes us. Okay? The point of being aware and not aware. Okay? Not aware. Having the knowledge, but not in awareness. You could have the knowledge deep in you, but you are getting busy with other things, and you almost, this knowledge becomes in the back of your mind, and you don't quite aware of it. And we have the example that we give a lot with Zakariya alayhi salam. Right? Zakariya alayhi salam, as a prophet of Allah, and he gets wahi from Allah. When he was taking care of Maryam alayhi salam, and he found with her the fruits that he did not bring, and the food he did not bring, and some scholars say of the winter and the summer, and the summer and the winter, strange things. So he said, "Min anna laki hadha? Where did you get this from?" Then she simply said, "Huwa min indillah, it's from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah will give him whoever he pleases without the means." Right? Doesn't Zakariya alayhi salam know this? Yeah, he knows it. But it sort of was like it was in the back of his mind. So what did he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabbah." That is when Zakariya made dua and said, "Allah, I want a son." Allah is telling us when he said that. See, Allah is want to wake us up with this point, or put a light in our mind with this point. Allah tells us when he thought about this and thought, that is when he said it. When Maryam said it, Allah يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah who will give to whomever He pleases without the means. That's when Zakariya, he realized, okay, here, I want a son, ya Allah. And I am an old man, my wife is old and so forth, but I want a son because you give whomever you please without the means, and Allah give him a son. So our job is not to get this knowledge and to just get the knowledge. It's to be aware of that knowledge as we are conducting our lives and our affairs in our lives. To be really aware of it. Okay? So when we leave here, when it says that Allah is al-basir, you know Allah is seeing you. When you go in the car and put the key in the car and start the car and say, Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha, you really mean that. Praises to Allah that made us able to have some control over this. Because Allah is the al-Malik. And give us mulk only temporary. And if Allah does not give us ownership and control of this, we will not be able to. Are you aware of this and you put the key in the car and start it? Okay? And then you going around and making decision, and are you aware that when you're thinking about this decision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, so He knows inside of you, in your heart and your mind and the process of thinking and your deep thoughts of intention, why you're doing what you're doing. Are you aware of that Allah is aware of you, this process that you're going through? Okay? This is the purpose of this halaqat. Okay? That your awareness becomes so sensitive of Allah's attributes that you become, you know, truly close to Allah. When you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that you should love the most, more than anything, and nothing you should love more than Allah. And then you go home and you have a problem with your wife or a problem with your husband, and then it makes your life miserable. You know you're away from the attributes of Allah. You know, okay? But because if you are close to Allah, this, even if it is a great problem, should not affect your life that much. Why? Because you are close to Allah. And Allah, you love Allah so much, and Allah loves you. So, what is loving a human being would have that effect in your life? No. Okay? Should not. Should not make any difference. Okay? That's why you see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have so much tolerance with things around him. Because he was so close to Allah. No human being walked on earth who was sensitive to the attributes of Allah like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically in a place that's closer to Allah than any being ever. So here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken Isra and Mi'raj, went and seen things in the Malakut al-Samawat wal-Ard that angels see, and even angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, could not go further than in a certain area, and Sidrat al-Muntaha, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to go through. And Jibreel alayhi salam says, if I go, I will burn. I cannot go any further than that. This is my limit. The limit of who? Shadidul Quwa. Allah calls Jibreel Shadidul Quwa, the one with the mighty power. All of a sudden, like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him like a piece of old, you know, rug that is all, you know, so, you know, used up. This is how Jibreel alayhi salam looked at. That's it. Cannot go any further. He is humble and that's it. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he has a beautiful comment on this. He in some generations after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were those that they would read the Quran and recite Quran and then they would collapse. Okay? So people say the companions did not collapse when they were reading the Quran. Are you saying you're better than the companions? Right? They say, well, we, you know, this is what happens. And it says that some Khalifa said, okay, get me those people. Give me one of them and put him on the edge of the roof of a building. Okay? And let him recite the Quran. See if he's going to collapse. Okay? So now, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah, Shaykh al-Islam, is making a beautiful comment. He says, Musa alayhi salam, when he asked to see Allah, Allah said, if when He appears to the mountain, okay, then you will see Me. And when Allah appeared to the mountain collapsed and Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to where no being had ever gone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through and spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to be unconscious does not mean that you are so close to Allah necessarily, or maybe you are. And being unconscious does not mean that you're far from Allah, but you could mean that you are so close to Allah as well. Where do you get this from? How do you get these things? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, this is a human being, okay, a mu'min who try to reach the awareness of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It is not the awareness of saying Allahu, Allahu, you know, and repeat, you know, certain names this way and say you're going to get some kind of what do you call it? You get into a trance or something of sort. No. This is really aware enough of the understanding of the attributes of Allah to the point that you can be aware of all the details of your life, the details of events that happens around you, the details of matters that goes on within you and out of you, and relate it to one or more attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you're really going to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without losing conscience. Okay? No, you're going to be really conscious. That is the idea. The idea, Allah talks to us through our intellect. Okay? And when you get these names of Allah and attribute and you think about it and reflect on it, and you be so sensitive with your intellect that you have, whether the intellect of a heart or a mind, and you be so sensitive to it, this is, you know, this is paradise on earth. Okay? So, we need to go home and reflect more on these attributes. Okay? You do not need to articulate it so much and be able to sit and talk about every name for an hour. No. But you need to pick up few points that would remind you of this attribute so it become a living attribute with you. And practice every week, just take few attributes and try to work on them to see how it is realized all around you. And go on and keep building on that. Okay? And then when difficulties come around, you know, the attributes will be there around you. So within these difficulties, you will see the attributes of Allah. So these difficulties are going to be most beautiful as well, because it magnifies attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is another way of magnifying most beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us see without not necessarily seeing. Okay? A human being, a gift, Allah made us basir as well. Allah gave us the gift of being able to see. And we say it is a gift. So, the one that Allah takes this gift from them, are they walking around with less gift or more gifts? You only can talk to a person who go through this and you will know. Okay? And maybe you'll know, maybe the person will tell you, it's been a misery since I lost my flight. You understand? So you would know that, okay, this is how the person takes it. But imagine yourself. Imagine yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes part of your vision away. Not all of it. Only part of it. So you'll be able to function somehow. Not totally dependent on others. But functioning somehow. But the amount of vision that Allah takes away from you is just enough to make the material life meaningless. Okay? To make the material life meaningless. So, if you want to get a car so you can go from one place to another and somebody drive you, all the purpose now is to go from point A to point B on something that has an engine and a wheel. When you enter that car, you have no idea what kind of car it is. Right? You have no idea what it is. You just want, you know, if it's a long trip, you want a chair, you know, a seat that's a little comfortable. So, okay, that's all you want. But what it is, what brand and so forth, what is it, it doesn't make much difference. Okay? You go into, you know, conduct whatever it is that you conduct in your life. Okay? The physical part of it is gone. So it does not matter. But the part that functions, that is the important to you. So imagine that. Would that be a gift or a curse? That would be a gift. Because material life is not going to mean much to you anymore. So therefore, what are you going to be busy with? You're going to be busy with things more important, not the surface. You're going to be, you know, imagine someone who does not see well wants to get married. How he's going to choose? Isn't that beautiful? Right? Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, as Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, okay, when he sent a woman to a family to see their daughters, so he wanted to get married. So she came back and she was describing, you know, some physical attributes. And, you know, she's a room that she can describe. He said, no. I want to know which of the two girls have more intellect. Okay? And she said, the one who has one eye. This is one of them has one eye. She said, the one with the one eye has more intellect. Or more of good intellect and reason. He said, even here. So she's the one. She said, Sheikh, she has one eye. He said, حقيقة المرأة في كل مرأة وعقل المرأة ليس في كل مرأة. The reality of a woman is in every woman. But the intellect of a woman is not in every woman. Okay? That is a talk of a man who sees beyond what he sees, you know? Okay? So, you know, here it is, you know, thinking about the gift of being able to see, okay? Certainly it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? But think about it, that the gift of seeing deeper is a bigger gift. So do not get busy with what the gift that Allah has given you to see with your eyes from the gift that Allah gave you with basira. Basira, not basar. Basira, to go deep and realize things and understand things deeper. And proact on a deeper level with matter than the surface matter. Okay? So imagine yourself. And I'm telling you because I'm going through this. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Allah have chose to take part of my vision away, of my sight. Not vision. Alhamdulillah. And you know, right away when it happened, I'm saying this so it will be an example, inshallah. Okay? You know, here is when I went to the doctor and realized what was going on. But I was able to function, I was able to drive and, you know, business and do this and so forth. He diagnosed what I have and he said, I'm getting you prepared now. I said, okay, prepare me. He said, within 10 years, I don't know how this is going to work out and we don't know. But I'm just telling you from my experience that, you know, within 10 years, you'll not be able to read or drive or your life is going to be limited. So prepare yourself. Prepare yourself that, you know, within 10 years, you have to change a lot of your lifestyle. So I left, you know, I'm thinking, okay. And then what he said is going to happen in 10 years, it happened in 4 months. 4 months. I went back to him. I said, what happened? He said, I told you, there's no way I could, I was just guessing, and so forth. And that was a moment of something that is, you know, all of a sudden, you know, your life has to change drastically. Drastically has to change. And you are a complete stop. It's not a life of progress now. It's a life of a stop. Okay? And what you're going to do. And how you're going to do what you're going to do. Okay? And so forth. And then the awareness becomes, okay? It's a whole total life. A whole total different life. And it is a better life. It is a better life. Okay? Because the distraction is less. You have less distraction. Okay? So you need now to focus, put importance in things that matters in the life. Okay? In your life. And then you start thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of taking the time that you were spending in that which did not matter much. Okay? Now you have time to spend in that which matters as everything should matter. Okay? So think about it. Think about it. Now think about the gift of being able to see that Allah has given you. Okay? That is a gift, but it's also, it is a burden. And do not let it distract you. Do not let it distract you. Let it be an asset for you. Let it be the eyes, the vision of Allah. Let it be the vision of Allah. And that is a statement that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Hadith al-Qudsi. When my servant comes to me, مَزَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. My servant is still coming to me, close to me with النَّوَافِلْ until I love him. And then when I love him, I'll be the vision that he sees with. Okay? And the hearing that he hears with, and so forth. Okay? So, let that, you know, it's enough when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَخَذْتُ حَبِيبَ قَالَ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ أَخَذْتُ حَبِيبَتَاهُ Okay? وَصَبَرْ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاء إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ Okay? That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that I take his two beloved ones, حَبِيبَتَاهُ His two beloved ones, meaning his eyes, is his ability to see. But the key here is wasabar, and he practiced patience. Okay? Then he has no reward except Jannah. Okay? So here is, you know, a gift that Allah has given you and took it away from you, or would take it away from you and give you more gift. With being aware and more gift of Jannah. What is this? You know, subhanallah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah is just gifts pouring on us and ni'am is all over us. All over us. And we dare to complain about little things. About little things. Inshallah, go ahead. And make the comments, inshallah. Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما شاء الله. The subject is very enlightening. سبحان الله.
And enlightening is a very good word to use.
Yeah. That you touch in the part that the بصيرة in Arabic. But we did not elaborate on it.
Yes.
The بصيرة is to add to it. It's Allah said in the Quran that it لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب اللي في الصدور. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى give us this vision which we see in not in the eyes, and it's just in we could see in our hearts what's right from wrong, which is that's the most important also. And Allah will resurrect people blind in the day of judgment. And they will ask why we have been, why we are resurrected blind and we were seeing in this life. So Allah will tell them that you forget my ayat and today you are be forgotten.
And also Allah said, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى
فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى.
And the one who's a blind in this one,
right,
also a blind in the other.
Exactly, but that doesn't mean blind in sight.
Yes.
Yeah. So
وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا.
Right, subhanAllah.
Okay, listen. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
See,
no.
See how beautiful this
is.
See, as you describe it, they're saying, okay, and the one, who will be taken in the day of judgment blind, I say, Allah, I was able to see. So Allah says, but you stayed away from our ayat, so now you're blind. Now Allah is saying, and the one in this one, in this life, is blind, will take him as blind, and he will have the worst of place, right? And what is the ayah after that? Okay, and the ayah after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِي عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهِ وَإِذَا لَتَّخَذُوكَ سَبِيلًا. And they were about to take you away from what we have revealed upon you so you could adjust in it. And then they'll take you as a friend. See the blindness? Where the blindness is?
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
May Allah give us basira to see the truth and the right way and stay on it, inshallah. And Allah basir in His ibad also, not, like you said, is not like seeing them physically.
Yeah.
And He know why they should do this and not to do that, or what is going to happen in the future. So He see their future.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah have an insight about their act to the future. Mm-hmm. So, and that's very important that He know tomorrow, why Allah put you in such a situation today, and because tomorrow, if He did not, you will be in this situation. So Allah, when He love you so much, He might put you in difficulty in the moment, mm-hmm. knowing that if He did not, you will be in a bath, will take you to hellfire, wa'ayyadu billah. So Allah is knowing exactly how you react to things, so that's why He put you in these circumstances. And there is a lot of examples about this in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And last comment, you talked about people here, like we said, بِخَافُوا مَبَخْتَشُوشُ. They are afraid when there is cameras. I told you this about the speeding cameras. Yes. All of a sudden, everybody stop. Like, we are going 60 miles. Suddenly, you see, I took a ticket because of that. I'm following the people in a free line. And suddenly, everybody stop. I'm looking around. The camera shot me. I took a ticket because of this. So they are afraid. They are not really following the rules. And when they have the chance, subhanAllah, when they have the chance to get you, you go to Morgan Stanley and Lehman Brothers and you stay with them for 30 years. They are the best. You are the best customer for them. They are treating you by the penny and everything is nice and wonderful. But once they hit you, when they have the chance and there is no accountability after that, they know that you are broke. They will get you, very bad when the collapse happens, they will take you, to the bottom. That's it. So they are not afraid from Allah.
They have their wealth before they do that as well.
Right. They take everything and they prepare it and that's it. One shot and you are out. Yeah. SubhanAllah. They don't afraid from anything.
Assalamu alaikum. There is ayah in the Quran I was looking in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam that he should make this boat wasnil fulka bi'ayunina, that we are it's just like a master engineer telling his pupil how to make a boat in front of his eyes. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two eyes, wa'ayunina.
No, that's plural.
Plural, right.
Yeah, plural, yes.
So from this can we gather that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have some form of eyes, or which we do not understand. They're not like our eyes, but...
Yes, meaning that... And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallam, إِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Okay, you are in our eyes. Also, Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam.
Yeah, Musa alayhi salam, he says, Kala, la takhafa innani ma'ak.
No, wa sana'atuka ala ayni. I made you over my eyes.
I know, but there he says, asma wa ara.
Na'am.
I hear and I see.
Yes.
So in specifically for Musa and Harun alayhi salam.
Yes. In the way we take the attributes of Allah, we confirm what Allah confirms for Himself without making Him look like anything. Okay? Without any likeness of anything that we know. And we deny everything that Allah denies for Himself without taking away something that Allah conferred for Himself. Okay? Okay, تنزيه دون تعطيل وإثبات دون تشبيه. Okay, إثبات دون تشبيه. What you said, يد الله فوق أيديهم, the hand of Allah over their hand. Does that mean it is the power of Allah over their power? Yes, but also it means يد الله over their hand. So if Allah says He has a hand, Allah says He has a hand. But you say, He has a hand, but we don't know what it is like, and it is suitable for His Majesty, the Majesty of Allah. That's all. So we do not take away. Okay, we confirm that Allah has a hand, but we do not make it look like anything that we know. Okay, so yes, if Allah says He has an eye, He has an eye, but we should not think of it as anything that we know, because laysa kamithlihi shay, there is nothing like Him.
Wallahu alam. It could mean also this ayah bi ayunina. It could mean that under our supervision.
Yes.
Which is the most likely.
It could mean many things.
Yeah.
But do not take the word ayunina.
No. I'm not. But
yes.
Because Nuh alayhi salam, he built it. He was not able to build ships, and he was not
build it on expert. The land. Yeah.
Right. So the instructions came one by one. Do this, and after that, do this.
And,
right. So it was supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and manual, the manual given to Him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayhi. Jazakum Allah khayran.